My father was a faithful man from the beginning of his life to the end of his life. He had received faith from his father and his family before him and passed that faith on to me and to my children as I continue that faithful legacy of those who've come before. And there's something interesting about my father. We would kind of anticipate the words as they were bubbling up out of his spirit and ready to come out of his mouth. And we knew that every time that the family had gotten together, these words would always come. It's as if there was a mandate from God to speak this word to the family. And we would feel it as if it was perfect. It's so nice that we're all here together. And what was true during my father's life on earth and what's true right now in my own life and what will be true forever is those moments and our eternity where we can say together, it's so nice that we're all here together. And so this morning, I'm going to tell you a story about how faith was delivered to me and how I get to pass on faith to those who follow after. And it's an interesting story, and I gotta be honest, it's one you've probably heard before, but this morning especially, I want you to have eyes that see and ears that hear so that you might have a head to know and a heart to believe what is true and what is real. And what is for you? And the reality is that Passover was soon. Passover was the high holy day where we would join together and actually go to Jerusalem to commemorate, to remember all that God had done for our people, that he had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, that he had taken them from their bondage and chains and walked them out, delivering them even from death. They had seen 9 plagues, brutalizing, terrorizing the people of Egypt into telling them to go. But the 10th was one that was especially hard. God told his people, cover the doorposts with the blood of the lamb. And when I see the blood, God says, I will pass over you and deliver from you the death that will destroy the Egyptians. And that night, they ate food with their clothes on and their belts buckled and their shoes on their feet, and they left the land of Egypt when God struck down the Egyptians and spared his people. And even as they were trapped between the armies of Pharaoh and the Red Sea, God made a way for them to walk through the water as if on dry ground. And miracle after miracle after miracle, he showed them that he would provide for them. And the faith of our fathers passed down to their children and their children and their children. But we know the people complained. When they had been rescued by God, they complained to him, to Moses, to Aaron, and to Miriam, you've brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. What good is gold that we plundered from the Egyptians if we can't use it to buy food? And they lied to themselves about how good of a life they had in Egypt. When they ate and they ate and they ate until they were full to overflowing, And they lied to themselves about how there were no problems for them in Egypt. And yet now all they have is problems. And so we celebrate this Passover where God delivered his people. And every year, millions of faithful Jews would travel to Jerusalem. But one year was dramatically different. While millions were walking to God's holy city, others were walking away. Others were walking toward Bethsaida to see this rabbi who was inviting people to experience renewal in ways they never thought possible. Many millions went to Jerusalem, and only thousands went to see Jesus. I remember walking on the road, the opposite direction that we would go every year. And where our family walked by, dozens and dozens of other families heading the opposite direction, we few were walking toward Jesus. Slowly, our family was joined by other families. And the few became dozens, and the dozens became hundreds, and the hundreds became thousands, because he was casting out demons. He was healing the sick. He was giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and speech to the mute. This Jesus was making all things new. And as the thousands of people were approaching the place where he was, he saw us before we even saw him. As if he could look inside of us and see exactly what we're struggling with. He had compassion on us as we flocked like sheep without a shepherd, wandering, hoping to hear someone's voice we would recognize to tell us the truth, to give us the truth, to heal us with the truth. And his disciples saw us. And they wanted us to go away. They wanted us to leave. They actually interrupted him to tell him that Jesus should make us leave. And so he asked them a question. Jesus asked, "Where are we to buy bread so that the people may eat?" One of his disciples said, 200 denarii. Nearly a year's wage couldn't provide enough food for the people who are gathered among us. And we're in the middle of nowhere. You could never get food to this place to feed these people. Lord, send them away, the disciples had said. And then Jesus told them to feed us. And we'd all been traveling for quite some time, and all the supplies within the thousands of people who had gathered were diminished, and there was only one boy who had anything left. Andrew said, the boy has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but it's as if his faith was evaporating as he spoke the words, because he asked Jesus, what is this small amount for so many? There's no way we can feed these people. And Jesus made us lie down in green pastures. He had led us beside still waters. And in groups of 50 and 100, the thousands were made to sit. And in the presence of my enemies, a group of people I had not chosen to eat with or to sit with or to be with, I sat. Families from different places with different priorities, all with different requests of Jesus, all drawn together in Jesus, where there was separate desires and separate pains. Jesus brought unity. He brought us together. And Jesus took the bread and the fish. He said a blessing. He broke the loaves and he divided the fish and he started walking up and down the groups of 50 and 100. Thousands of people who haven't eaten all day with no food. Have you brought us into this wilderness to kill us with hunger? Jesus, I have nothing to bring to you. And he starts walking up and down, back and forth through the people. Bread and fish. Bread and fish. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Are we going to get a crumb? We're sitting on the opposite side of where Jesus had started. Certainly, he's going to run out before he gets through the thousands and thousands of people who are here gathered, and we're sitting at the end of the line, and there's not going to be anything left that would provide for our need. And thousands of people later, Jesus came to us and he gave us bread and fish. And we ate and we ate and we ate and we kept eating and we're absolutely full. Till we couldn't eat any more, and this 5 loaves and 2 fish had fed 5,000 men and all of their children and wives. And I was eating from this small portion, and I looked down as I was full, and there was food left over on my plate. How embarrassing. How could I have taken more than I needed when there was so little to go around? How did I request more from my Savior than I even had sufficiency within my body to eat? But he was gentle, and he sent his disciples And they had these massive baskets, one for each one of them. And those 12 disciples walked up and down the crowds collecting those broken pieces so that nothing our Savior gives would be wasted. And all of our different ideas and all of our different requests that we had come, we 20,000 people, to see this person, this rabbi, started to coalesce around one idea. This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. Moses had promised that there would be one who follows after him, like him, to lead his brothers. And we remember that Joshua, Yeshua, was the one in the Old Testament who followed after Moses and defeated all of the enemies of God's people. And this one, this Jesus, has the same name, Yeshua. Certainly, God had to have picked this one so that we could be delivered from the same things that held them down. And he'll conquer our enemies, and he'll free us from those who would keep us in chains. And almost as quickly as the idea started to percolate among the people, Jesus sent his disciples away and he started to dismiss the crowds, group by group, 50 by 50, 100 by 100, until no one was left but him. And he went up alone on the mountain to pray. And darkness covered the land. But as day broke, we started to regather and noticed that the disciples were gone, yes, but so was Jesus, and he didn't have a boat. Some said that he even walked on water in the middle of the night as if it was dry ground. And so we started searching nearby, but then we all got into the boats too and followed him across the lake from Bethsaida to Capernaum. And we tracked him down the next day because we had questions and he had to have answers. We would question him and he would answer us because we had to know. And he said, You're seeking me because you were full yesterday, and now you're hungry again. Your desire hasn't been fulfilled. You're working for food that perishes, but you should work for food that endures to eternal life. Food which I will give you, Jesus said. And almost in unison, we spoke together and said, yes, please give us this food always. Where was that food yesterday? We would have eaten it. What should we be doing, Jesus? To be doing the kind of work that this food would be given. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you would just believe in him whom he has sent. And so we said, prove it. Do something. Do something that we would make us believe. I mean, even Moses did something. He fed our fathers in the wilderness when they were hungry, and he gave them water to drink when he struck the rock. I mean, Moses did something. You should do something. Jesus said, it wasn't Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Jesus said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died, because even though they saw the miracles of God, even though they heard God speak, it didn't affect their minds or their hearts. They lacked belief and they died in the wilderness. And he said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Jesus said, if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And then he said the hardest thing, the thing we really didn't understand yet. The bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. That he would lay down his life so that we would live. And he repeated himself. And he said, my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. We had walked toward Jesus instead of walking to Jerusalem. We had followed him to Bethsaida and back across the lake. And then he's saying all of these things while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. And it was a hard saying. And the thousands had become hundreds, and the hundreds had become dozens, until there were only a few still walking with him. And Jesus looked at those who still followed, the men and the women, the children. Said, do you want to leave as well? Everyone else is gone. And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to know, and we have believed that you are the Holy One of God. Those disciples from every walk of life, with every kind of struggling faith. Lord, we know Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant, but Jesus, you are faithful over God's house as a son. And you are bringing everyone into your house. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And it was the prophet David who had warned us. Today, if you hear the Lord's voice, do not harden your hearts as your fathers did in the wilderness, and they died. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but soften them, because he continues to feed his people. Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. And he gave his people the bread at the Last Supper. And he said, take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And he gave them the cup at the Last Supper. Moses had struck the rock in the wilderness and water flowed from it, gushing that those 2 million people who had exited Egypt could drink till they were full. And Moses gave the people bread from heaven that the Father had delivered, manna and quail. Food to eat, water to drink. And we've struck the rock. The rock on which our faith is founded. And blood and water flowed from his side. An infinite font with forgiveness for all. My father and mother, they hung scripture in our house. God's word, so that we would always remember. It was a quote from Yeshua, from Joshua. After God had delivered the people from all of their enemies and made them to dwell peacefully in the land, he said, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of the people in the land from whom you've just been delivered, or the Lord who brought you out of slavery and into new life. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I miss my dad so much. But what was true is still true and will be true forever. He is able to do far more abundantly than you can even ask or imagine. He wants you to sit at his table. He wants you to eat at his feast. There is always a place for you. And if this is the kind of story that you want to share with someone you know who's important to you, we want to invite you to come to our table. After Easter, we're going to be hosting an Alpha where we can ask some of those questions about our Savior, where we can be together, we can eat and talk. And if there's someone you love who has a request of Jesus, we'd invite you to come and see. Because there's a seat for everyone at the table with Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, there's so much on our hearts, in our minds, pain, hurt. But you bring life. You rescue from death. You deliver from evil. You've brought us to your table. May we feast on forgiveness forever with you. And all this we pray through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.